Nantucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
To the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. You need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me. So it'll come on the program. We'll hear from Travis Johnson. He's the lead pastor at Pathway Church. Been out there, Moffett Road in Sims, but glad he can make time for us this morning. I believe he's in Washington, D.C., but we'll hear from him here in about half hour or so, hour number three now underway. I'm going to claw through these texts and the tedious ones from Mommy Issues. Leo, how can we peasants get rid of the obviously partisan appointed judges? They are not kings. You don't. I mean, it's just the system we live under. What I would argue, and this is something Josh Hawley has talked about, like we tend to, or at least Republican presidents tend to lean too much on this Federalist Society list of judges. So you get on that list and suddenly you're a candidate for a higher court, you become a candidate for an appeals court or the Supreme Court. And I don't think we're going and doing the proper vetting. We're leaving it up to U.S. senators. The senior U.S. senator has a lot of sway here on U.S. attorneys and judicial appointments. The problem with Badasco, she was appointed by Trump, but she came with the recommendation of Richard Shelby and Doug Jones. And the red flag should have been with Doug Jones gave her like a ringing endorsement. Maybe it was a time when we were in the middle of the Russiagate stuff and they who is a judge that the Senate will agree on? And we needed Jones' vote. I don't know. Jason, does the Pam Casey endorsement of J. Mitchell matter in the long run? I think it matters a little bit. She did well. She was outspent. She ran hard. She ran in, you know, she covered the state. I saw her at a lot of events. I think it matters, especially in a low turnout, what I expect to be a low turnout primary runoff. I don't know how much. I'm surprised by that endorsement, to be honest. But I do think it matters. Toothless Bammer, Jill Sorry Rear End enjoyed the perks of the presidency, cover of Vogue, etc. Amazing that any Democrat would believe Dr. Jill and her excuse for her husband was he's having a stroke. Yeah, I don't buy it either. There's just something dark about that. I think about me being in that situation. If I were coming on the radio and now everything's fine and I were that lost, getting lost in my thoughts, embarrassing myself, and my wife saying, hey, everything's fine. There's nothing wrong with Jeff. Mike, where Mommy Issues argument falls apart is that 50% of the black population is in the illiterate category, while 10% of the white population is. That means a huge proportion of Democrats are functionally illiterate, while the vast majority of Republicans are highly literate. Prior to government schools, literacy rate in America was 70-80%. Today, there's roughly 30% of the population that is considered illiterate. It seems that government re-education hasn't done anything positive. This is a text for April Marie. Hey, April, could you call Erica Roberts and ask her to call Lanyap to ask them about the Museum Drive hotel study? Dan, Dalton, and Jeff are worthless, and Sean is probably fishing. Will it be completed by 2030? Do you think that's how this works? That we have a guest calling the show, and they got like they're looking at the text message line right there while they're on the phone with us, and then like you take a shot at the four personalities on this station. How does the world work in your mind? The Museum Drive Hotel study is the first time I've ever heard of it. Like, this is like supposed to be at the top of my list. Will it be completed by 2030? I mean, you're texting into a radio show. Well, there are probably 50 other places that you could text to, you know, try to figure that out. And you call the host of this show worthless, and you give Sean the exception. I guess he's not worthless, but he's fishing. You got to reevaluate your life on that one there. Especially to think that anyone cares about the Museum Drive Hotel study. Unnamed texter, the freaking Supreme Court is rigged/racist. That's the same as being racist. The power make you do racist things. That was not great. Poor Red, mispronunciation is his biggest opponent. This is Marquis, Marquez. And we how many times did I say Rep Marcus? And then it's like, what I was saying was not, why are you insisting on saying it this way? Fire Dog, right? Men's is good, and I like Ox Kitchen there in Fairhope. Gold Burger's there. I forgot about Ox Kitchen. I don't usually get the burger there, though. I've had it. We get a lot of Ox Kitchen at this house because it's just so readily available. And it doesn't feel like takeout. It's a lot of free advertising today for you on FM Talk 106.5. Ella, do yourself a favor and drive to Foley for some Cheeseburger Randy's. You won't be sorry. That's where you went wrong there, telling me to do myself a favor and drive to Foley. Sorry if you live in Foley. Paul. I have a New York strip worth trying. I would do you what if you said the word. It's better than Ruth Chris or any steak I've had at a restaurant. Well, thank you for the offer, Paul. Gene. I haven't heard from Gene in a little bit. Maybe your guest will be able to explain why it's okay to kill Catholics in the Middle East. That's random. Mike. Yes, April is going to take some time out of her Birmingham-based life to check out a Spring Hill story. Just like, first of all, they called her Erica Roberts. I think they meant Erica Thomas. But then the best part of that text was, can you call Lanyap and find out? Like, what does the world look like to this individual? Here we go. Mommy Issues is back. Juicebox time must be over. When you make what I do, I can do what I like. I can text morons like you on a show that needs something other than boring, tired lies. It's funny you daily use mommy issues to rile up Trump's base of child rapist protectors. I bet you got a a shiny new pedo protection badge. LMFAO. Well, first off, mommy issues. If you're going to text into this show, don't text like a teenage girl to me, okay? Be a man. Don't use little silly things like LMFAO. We're adults here. I know you got, maybe you got like, maybe you had a brownie with your juice box. Yeah, right. Republicans are blanking morons day in and day out. Every southern state ranks last in education. You texted is a blinking moron. Every southern state ranks near last. Your racist comments definitely fall into 56%. He's too damn stupid to even realize he falls into statistic. Mommy issues a little mad this morning. We got to put you in timeout. Sit in the corner. You need to calm down, son. Somebody call Mommy Issues Mommy and take his phone away. Scroll over it. Democrats like to attribute ignorance to lack of opportunities and all that to racism. But then they defend idiotic blacks while bashing ignorant whites. It is like they think one is normal and the other should know or can do better. Lisa, Mommy Issues is just sad that his bestie AOC went back up north without him. I'm always kind of mesmerized by somebody who pretends to be that passionate about what is said on the show. When the host is not even that passionate, not even that angry. As if the show is like, got some kind of dark ulterior motive here. Something evil it's doing. I don't know that it matters. It's just so mad. So Mommy Issues, I got to put you in timeout. You need to calm down, cool off. We're not going to read any more of your texts this morning. I'm pretty lenient here. I try to give you your say, but now you're straight up ad hominem. You're having a little temper tantrum. Go watch some Peppa Pig or whatever. Cool off or figure out what's important in your life, because this isn't the kind of stuff you need to be sweating. Mike, about $40 million in gold. I'm positive I could move 630 pounds in my truck. Oh, we're talking about the CIA agent with the gold. But what do you do with it? Like, you go down to the pawn shop. Hey, look at all this gold I got. Also, Gene, the comment was about Israel killing tons of Catholics in Lebanon. I don't know if it's G-E-N-E. If it's Gene, it's J-E-A-N on the text line. It might be a female. Mommy Issues just really, really getting mad on the text line. Just attacking my wife now. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Cotton on the roadside, cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. The wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Programming note, tomorrow on the program will be Friday, following Friday. We'll hear from Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, and our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, at least that's the plan. So make sure you tune in for that other guest to be named later. Let's see here. Fire Dog. I sit around my house all day since I work from home, so I listen to 106.5 and text in the radio shows. Can we get some Ricky text? At least those are entertaining. Yeah, but you're not trying to like formulate this own like mythical depiction of the audience. As if the people listening to talk radio are somehow dumber than the people listening to Top 40. Or that you think like you have all of these like the society is just full of dumb people and it's a wonder that it functions. That you have such a low regard for your fellow man. Yet you'll probably go out and you would never say this to their face. You'll just do it on a text line. Scott, glad I took lunch when I did today. Jeff, thanks for the comic relief. Nothing like hearing a full TDS meltdown for mommy issues. Mike, are you going to try to make it to Omaha if Aubie gets there? It's definitely on a bucket list place for me. I got to see my Gators. If I got to see my Gators win another one. I just, college baseball, we'll go to a couple Auburn games a year. But the trek to Omaha, Nebraska is one where I got to feel really good about Auburn because it's an investment. I feel like they could make the College World Series. I feel like if they get there, I don't know. It should be on the bucket list. I need to get there someday. I probably will. I got to see Auburn play in the Final Four in San Antonio last year. That would be good to get to. But I don't know. That's a hard ticket too. But it looks like a cool place to go. There's a lot of mystique about it. Right now, the Women's College World Series is on. Texas Tech leading Mississippi State 2-0 in the second inning. For those of you to keep up with that. But and it's like why else would you ever go to Omaha, Nebraska? And that would have to be it. Unless Auburn played Nebraska. Now that would be a cool trip to go to Lincoln. The one I'm excited about is next year, Auburn plays in South Bend against Notre Dame. I'm going to definitely try to make that. I had to watch Auburn play Duke in basketball at Cameron Indoor, which is a cool building. It's not a great basketball experience. It reminded me of like the old high school auditorium, the wooden seats. And I find Duke fans to be, perhaps more objectionable than Alabama fans. Just rude for no reason. Like here's a team coming to your venue that you've seen two times in 40 years. And like we go to a few Auburn away games, basketball games, and then nothing. Duke is just trash, man. Sorry if you're a Duke Blue Devil fan, but Durham, it's just not a great place. I don't know. It's old and dilapidated. You know, the Duke campus is kind of cool. There's some neat architecture, but the fans are just garbage, man. Nobody should be that into it. Go do your Cameron crazy thing, but don't attack the visitors. Show a little class. They're worse than LSU fans. Like LSU fans, you go to Baton Rouge, at least they're intoxicated. Duke fans are just terrible sober. 251-343-0106. Coming up in the next segment, Travis Johnson. Stick around. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Coal miner, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line.
This is for the one who drives the big rig.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. What's left of it? A text line about mommy issues, so try to get in, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program? Well, time permitting, I'll try to respond to your text. Joining us now, he's the lead pastor at Pathway Church out in Sims, Moffett Road. But Travis Johnson joins us on the line. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Jeff. Doing really great.
Well,
always good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And this came up, and it sort of was, there was a dust up between Barry Moore and Jared Hudson, and it got me thinking about this. About, you know, faith in the political spirit. Oftentimes, like, you and I have these conversations on this radio show about it, but it's on the side of, like, well, how should voters look at it when they go to make their decisions, or how engaged should they be in the process? But when it comes to election time, and you see something like this unfolding, and, you know, like, how much of this is it proper, should be in the discussion about, you know, like, you should vote for me because I am XYZ, and they, you know, that they do this. Like, what do you, when you see something like what happened, what do you make of it?
Well, you know, I think, you know, we've got folks that are running for office. Of course, I think the world of Barry Moore, and I don't know Jared personally or anything. I've reached out to him, you know, after that moment, dropped my cell number over. But I think what we do have is we have two Christian brothers, and that's really great. You know, I think that the dust up was that there's, I think the comment was something along the lines of there was a comparison made, but there was only one other person in the race. And, you know, I figured it was probably like a campaign mistake that dropped that out. And so I just wanted to make sure everybody knew what I thought about Barry Moore. I think he is absolutely wonderful Christian gentleman. He's been incredible in Congress, incredibly conservative Christian, father, husband, and really excited. And I'm really thankful. Of course, I'm there in DC a lot. I see his work. We pray for his work. In fact, I was just with, I had 100 pastors that we took into the White House. Our church led worship there in the White House. And, you know, we had some really great meetings. And also while we were there, we had about 100 pastors gather with Representative Congressman Moore. And we prayed for him. Lucas Miles, head of TPUSA Faith, he and I and another pastor here in Mobile, we led that prayer. Really incredible. You know, so when you know that you have someone that is just a stalwart, he's tried and tested, and his faith is real. And the work that he's done is real, consistent. I mean, you have a known quantity, and just stepping out there and making it happen. It makes me really proud and very easy, extremely easy, to do exactly what President Trump did and endorse Barry Moore for Senate. And if he does what he's done in the state, what he's done in the state house and what he's done in the U.S. Congress, he does that in the Senate, we're going to be incredibly blessed. And we need another really great conservative leader there in the Senate. We've got that in Barry Moore. I'm really looking forward to that, and really thankful that we also have some really incredible Christians that run for office coming out of Alabama. I'm just really thankful. There are a lot of places you could be, but to be in Alabama, we're so blessed, and I'm really thankful for all that great work that Barry Moore has done. I'm looking forward to more of that in the future.
Well, but as it pertains to, like, elections and talking about it, something's changed. We've gotten more secular as a society, that you don't necessarily have that in the backdrop like you once had. Mm-hmm. Now, you still have it in Alabama. A lot of places around the country, it's almost like this this freedom from religion movement, this secular movement's really, like,
that's right,
got its fangs into our politics.
They do. I mean, they came up Freedom From Religion Foundation, didn't like a prayer that I prayed in City of Mobile. There's a really great liberal paper that came out and was saying that, you know, people were saying I should apologize. I told my church I was going to be making a statement. I stood up in front of everybody and I said, you know, it was June, by the way, and people should be on vacation, places packed. I said, hey, they want me to make a statement. Some people are asking for an apology. Here's my statement. I'm not sorry. We don't apologize. We don't bow. We stand. And it became something really great. And turned out that Mobile is now the first city in America to lower its human rights campaign MEI score. And there's a price that goes with that. And I'm really thankful that to have someone like Barry Moore standing there with me as we're doing that. That moment in 23 put me in the Oval Office and actually in policy meetings, helping to write the Religious Liberty Commission executive order. And so when I'm there feeling, you know, simultaneously invigorated and, you know, also bruised up and banged up, you know, our family got doxxed and that sort of thing, having Representative Barry Moore being an encouragement through battles like that has been absolutely incredible. You know, I walked out of the Oval Office one time and a national journalist said, how often are you all going to worship in the White House? My response was, every chance I get. And I don't think that we would have to check our faith at the door. When that's being asked, it's not a matter of freedom of religion. What they're asking for is freedom from religion. I even have people say I shouldn't express my political views because I'm a pastor, but I'm a U.S. citizen. I can say what I want, and we need more of that. I think because so many political leaders have checked their faith at the door, then we end up with men in girls' K-12 bathrooms, men and women's sports, all the drama that we've seen, Christians getting canceled their job for wearing crosses, all of that. And so we have just the opposite in Barry Moore. And we got some great leaders all over. And we need more of those leaders, more stepping into roles. But I'll tell you what, if we've got someone going in there to fight and they're making it happen and it's not a question of what's going to happen, then we should do everything we can to roll in and back them up. That's exactly what I'm going to do all day long. And I'm really proud for my conservative Christian brother, Barry Moore, and I'm really very much looking forward to him being our next senator.
Joined by Travis Johnson at Pathway Church here on the program. I had years and years and years ago when I was at the University of South Alabama, I had a professor who wanted to recreate Plato's Republic, but he talked about faith in the public sphere, the political sphere, as such that, like, you're sullying faith. That mm-hmm. faith should be, that there should be separation, because mm-hmm. when you enter it into the political discussions, that it's being co-opted, it's being used in a way that it wasn't intended to be. That you and I, you know, I don't agree with it at all, but this was the point of view, that when you start using it as a political talking point, that it does. It does harm to the whole discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of academics that are teaching because they can't do it in real life. And so you have a lot of woke progressives that are indoctrinating kids that we've spent 18 years raising and discipling. And so the first thing to do is to go try to deconstruct them. But when he's talking about faith should be separated from the government, and especially if he's making a statement about Christian worldview, I'd love for him to take that up with Joseph or Daniel or Ezra or Nehemiah. I mean, Ezra comes over and rebuilds Jerusalem with a decree from King Cyrus. We see Joseph rising to prime minister next to the Pharaoh. We see the same thing from Daniel under two kings while Israel was in Babylonian captivity. And so, you know what? We have a lot of problems because fathers aren't handling things at their school board. Moms aren't handling things at their school board, and we let the kids go off and get involved. I think we all ought to be showing up at every school board. We need more Christians on school boards, city councils, mayors, and U.S. Senate. And so, you know, I encourage my people to vote. I encourage my people to run for office. And I'm very encouraged by the really great work that Barry Moore has done. And I hope that God raises up many more leaders like him that will run for offices all over. And when it comes to Christians doing that, I hope we can encourage one another in the journey. I think that's a really fantastic opportunity for all of us to celebrate the great work that our Christian brothers are doing. So that's what I'm about.
Well, let's transition real quick. And you and I haven't talked much since the end of the legislative session, but now that, you know, there were a couple of things that got kind of left out. And I think you've kind of become educated on the whims of the Alabama legislature, but it is this, that some of these things that are priorities for the Mark Gitleys, the Mac Butlers, the guys like that who want to reinforce these Christian, Judeo-Christian values in public schools in Alabama, they're not making it to the finish line, are they?
Well, I mean, you actually need to bring some things to vote. And yet, of course, now this is a little bit of a different topic, but closed primaries would be a really great idea. You know, if we want to see more conservatives, you know, getting into those offices, that's very important. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that we're funding like exclusively LGBTQ schools, or at least one in Alabama through our tax money. How is that happening? How is that going? I think all of the things, you know, getting the pride flag out of schools K-12. I mean, we had that pushed out. I think that was HB 47 or something like that, 247. I don't remember exactly, but we got that all the way on through. Just couldn't get one more vote. It was all there. It'd be great to see more of that. You know, now as you get down into those policies, and there's plenty of things that we could do to make that better. A lot of things. It's not rocket science. So we'll get done what we want done. But at the same time, man, we are so blessed to live in a place like Alabama that values faith and values family and values freedom. So I think it's good for us to recognize also that we're not having to put up with the issues that are driving people to our state and states like Texas and Florida. You know, people are leaving those states. New York is actually, they're trying to do like California, put exit taxes on people that are trying to escape that stuff. So, you know, I think the more that we do those things that honor family, the better off we're going to be. And, you know, that's really what builds communities, the nuclear family. The city's communities are built on that. You deconstruct that. Why would you want to take a father or a mother away from a child? It's the biggest competitive advantage. We have to do everything that we can do. It'll save us money on the money we have to spend to welfare and other government programs that would just simply be solved, you know, if the nuclear family was strengthened in our community.
Well, we talk about this, and Alabama is a growing place, and there's new people coming in every day. Often we talk about it in the political sense that, okay, you have this group of voters, they're fleeing their blue states, they're coming, but they're bringing some of their politics with them. Maybe they're not full indoctrinated woke lefties, but they're coming to Alabama, they're bringing their politics with them. But how much are they bringing their culture with them? Which is, like I said, I think there's a lot of secularism. There's a lot of that going on here. Like, what do you do to grapple with that?
Well, that's there, and that's something we'll have to continue to battle with. And there's no generation that is guaranteed that these values will exist. You know, we have to do a good job of passing that down to the next generation, which makes it really difficult when we have libraries that are pushing, you know, this really horrible, you know, LGBTQ indoctrination, our kids having books that are completely inappropriate. And some of this stuff is happening in communities and counties that were like 67% for President Trump. You look at these very precincts, you know, like the Fairhope Library situation, and these votes were overwhelmingly for President Trump. And so those are things that we got to work out. We got to figure those out. But it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee in the church either. You know, if we, let's say as a Christian parent, if we don't have our children in the house of the Lord, if they don't see us in the scriptures or praying, then they won't do it. You know, if we marginally do it, then they won't do it at all. And so it's important. And, you know, I think that's what, you know, scripture points out. 2 Chronicles 7:14, that we can actually repent and turn back to God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, repent, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their sins and heal their land. And so there's a really great opportunity. The biggest opportunity is not even in the voting booth, though that's huge, and every Christian should vote. But there's a lot of things that could be done in the prayer closet or in our living room with our family. And I really am thankful for, you know, all of our families, churches, and, you know, people who want to get close to the Lord. And we need more people to call out to the Lord. It's a blessing for cities, our communities, for state, and for America.
Last question we'll get you out of here on this. I mean, this is the my observation sort of about politics as such, that people are very motivated by national things, by the things they see on the Fox News channel or, you know, read online or whatever. Maybe it doesn't really. There's a gulf here, though, getting it to matter locally. And doesn't that matter? I mean, you know, that didn't used to be the case, that the conservative politics was more based on the culture and not the media. But there seems to be some slippage there. I wonder, like, that is that are the two tied to each other? Where do you see that playing out?
Obviously, a national election, you know, is going to draw a lot of people. I think it always has done that. You know, that's our attention span is just really short. You know, sometimes in my church, we'll announce something 7, 8, 9 times, and then someone says, "Hey, I never even heard this happened." So just getting the word out about things is a real challenge. But we have a duty to our community. For the Christians, or say like the professor you were talking about, for the Christian to be uninvolved is reckless. It actually leaves a vacuum, and a vacuum will be filled. It'll be filled by people that don't share our values. So what's really important is that Christians turn out and vote every single opportunity that you get. And if we don't, someone else will determine what our state looks like. And it might be, you know, it might be people that don't share our values.
Pastor, folks want to find out more about Pathway Church, how can they do so?
It comes to me, pathwaychurch.us online, or you can go to Pathway on our social, pathwaychurch.us on our socials. We have a couple campuses in Mobile, one in Baldwin County, we have one in South Haven, Mississippi. We have one a little bit away from here that, you know, you probably wouldn't be able to make it to, but we would love to have you. It's a great gospel faithful church, and we're going to preach, and the things that happen in the culture are going to show up in the sermons. We just want to raise up strong godly men and women. We've got a really great next generation movement that's happening, and the church has been very, very encouraging. And so we'd love to have anybody that would like to come and be a part.
Pastor, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Why must you live out the song that you wrote?
They say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Keep your football.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Thursday morning. I'll see you here. Heywood, just go to Omaha next time in Mississippi State goes. John, Jeff, it's really stupid that the home team would attack visitors anyway. They should think about the fact that the visitors are putting money in their local economy. Backstrap mommy issues. Must have gotten his mommy dad more screen time. See a named texter. Hey, $17 million on St. Louis and Mobile is studying hotels there and other places. Please suggest a news outlet that I might follow about these studies. Josh, my liberal friends get very angry quickly, like your liberal texters. It's annoying my conservative friends. Ask me why I still hang out with my liberal friends. Liberals are so angry and ignorant. Mike, Travis Johnson forgot the big push Trump had in 2024 was LGBTQs for Trump. And Judy, I just got home from an exercise class and I caught the last 3 minutes of your last guest. I assume it was a Catholic priest. What's his name? Is he in Mobile? I'm interested in what he was saying. I guess I'll go back to your podcast, but you could just shoot me his name. That'd be great. It's Travis Johnson, Pathway Church out in Sims, but that's who that was. Coming up here shortly, midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Well, I mean, tell you what, in just a couple minutes, I've got my first guest leadoff batter, a guy named Jeff Poor. He's with 1819 News, FM Talk 106.5. And I hope he and I can start disassembling what may or may not happen. You know, the question, I know you get it way more than me, probably even, and I get a bunch. So what's getting ready to happen, Sean, with this? What's getting ready to happen with the primary runoff? What's going to happen on August 11th? Now, y'all have this story, you know, at 1819 that Governor Ivey's now delayed the August 11th special congressional primary ballot certification.
Right.
There's a lot to it, and so I thought maybe you and I could bounce that around for, you know, 15 minutes.
I have some theories on the way this is going to play out. Nothing set in stone, but you have to look at it through what the statute says, and that's what we're living under. I guess they could come back and change things back, but I don't see how.
Right, that's my problem is people say, I go, well, here's what I think's going to happen, but the way we've been going... I don't have complete certainty.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is we've already passed some laws here that are in place, and you already have campaigns operating on those assumptions, right?
Yes, and people went and voted last week based on assumptions as well.
Right, so I don't see any way forward for what happened on Tuesday
in the ghost primaries. Don't tell them anything more, because they have to wait for after the news.
Fair enough. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here. I will try to do better in about 10 minutes and tomorrow on the program. But, hey, sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. The Cowboys.